This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
Welcome to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I'm Jason Kong, alongside Mary Lucas, representing Transitions Life Care. And Mary, we've got a packed studio. This is awesome.
It's amazing. This is the most people we've ever had in the studio. I'm super excited.
Well,
we never have anybody in the studio. Well, sometimes we do, but
yeah. Well, it's COVID kind of changed things for everyone, and
we're all getting COVID in here
prefer
today.
Prefer to do Zoom. No, I think we're all good. I'm gonna go ahead and say I didn't do any tests beforehand, but I have a feeling with this crowd that we're
it feels good to not be on Zoom and to all be here, which is nice.
It does. It does. It's good to have the in-person feel. And we've got a lot of folks in here to talk about grief today. We're going to have a very thoughtful and thorough discussion. And we are pleased to welcome into the studio, we've got Hannah Tosh with us. She's a grief counselor and intake coordinator with Transitions Life Care. We've got Anna Hicken with us. She's also a grief counselor at Transitions Life Care. And we have Carson Sellers with us as well, who's a marketing specialist with Transitions. So, Mary, we're going to get to all things grief and hopefully provide some helpful tools for all of our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a while since we've done a grief show, actually. And I call them like grief shows, but, there's a lot more to it than that. But we typically do these around the holidays, it seems. But in reality, grief is all the time. And people deal with grief in different ways. I actually was just talking with someone yesterday whose dad passed on our services about grief and how it manifests. And, he passed over a year ago, and he's like, yeah, but it pops up all the time in my life. It doesn't just go away. So I'm excited to have this show today and to talk more about it, and hopefully it touches somebody out there. But Anna, Hannah, that's gonna be a mouthful the whole show. let's start out by tell us or help us understand a little bit more about grief and what does it look like, and what is grief? It can be so many different things.
Yeah, well, I think you made a really good point already. In its simplest form, grief is all the thoughts, feelings, and behaviors that we experience after the death of someone or something really important in our lives after a significant loss. And you talked about grief lasting a long time. I think that's a really important aspect to remember. But also, grief isn't just our emotions. Grief really impacts different parts of us. So it can impact our behaviors. It can impact our aspects of understanding ourselves, like our spirituality. It can impact our minds. So there are a lot of like mental symptoms that people don't always think of. Sometimes folks will find themselves not sleeping well. They might find themselves forgetting things really easily, having a hard time remembering things, feeling really unfocused or frazzled. So grief can really be a whole body experience.
Do you find that like in different people it can manifest in different ways, or there's things that are unique to each individual when it comes to grief?
Well, there's definitely, each person has their own experience. I think a lot of people are surprised by how it manifests in them. So like, yeah, some people will have physical, a very intense feeling of pain, which is that's pretty standard, but like people don't always expect that. Or some people will have more like behaviors, like I'm normally pretty even keeled and calm, but now my anxiety's through the roof. Mm-hmm. Or I'm a person who like shows up on time and remembers things, and I'm really organized, and now I like keep losing my keys and I walk into a room and I don't remember why I went in there. And so, yeah, a lot of people can be very surprised by their own experiences of grief. And it's also hard because we don't talk about it as a culture. So then it's unexpected. And often people feel like they're like going crazy. I'm using air quotes, going crazy. and that's just because we don't teach people what grief is. And we don't really have any intentional way of educating people about how grief impacts us and what to expect from grief.
That's a good point. You know, I for those that listen to the show know that I rescue a lot of hospice dogs and foster a lot of dogs. And lately I have been on a really bad tear of picking up shelter dogs that don't have much time at all. And I've lost like 3 dogs in a matter of a month. Each dog is a little bit different for me and how I'm grieving it. Or, you know, sometimes I only have them for like 3 days. And there's one recently, her name was Tater. I got Tater, and the shelter named her Yukon Gold. She really did look like a potato. She was this little chunky chihuahua. I'm holding my hands in the air to show the studio people. She was like this big, and she was like a little roll. And I was like, man, she just needs to lose a lot of weight. We can do this. Tater's just going to lose weight. We're going to be on a weight loss plan. Like, I bought her weight loss food, and all of a sudden I was like, something is wrong with Tater. Like, this is not a weight loss thing. And I realized quickly she was in heart failure and she was just full of fluid. And Tater died having a hard time breathing in my lap. And when she died, it took over an hour and a half to help her cross the bridge at the vet. And when she died, I was so mad. And it was just anger. And, you know, a lot of times when I put a hospice dog down, I'm like, I'm so happy, like, I've had this last, you know, X amount of time with them and helped them over the bridge, and we've had a really good time. With Tater, it wasn't like, and sometimes I cry every single time. With Tater, I was just angry. And, like, it wasn't, I was sad, but I was more angry than anything. And I left, and I walked outside, and I blew every curse word I could think of because I was just mad. And I had never had that grief reaction before. I mean, I was sad, but it was, like, angry. And I think that there's maybe different stages of grief. Is it normal to go through, like, an anger and a sad? And now, because then I cried. But at first, I was just so, I'm not going to say the words I'm going to say.
I think we can fill in the blanks there, Mary. I think you brought up a really good point, and then you also brought up a really controversial point. So the first I would say is, absolutely, I think it makes a lot of sense that not only is grief unique for each individual person, but it's also unique for each individual loss. So the way we experience the loss, the way it plays out, can really impact us in different ways. Just like you're describing, you had a really different experience for this different dog. The stages of grief is kind of a, you know, it's a little trick question. Us counselors, grief counselors, if you will, love to hate the 5 stages of grief. Oh. I'm sure you've heard of them. And absolutely, all of those feelings that you're describing, the anger, you know, the acceptance, the bargaining, all of those things can be aspects of our grief experience. So they're not foreign to grief, but we don't necessarily experience all of them. Some people experience some people experience all of them. Some people experience, like, you know, them in chunks. Some people experience them over and over again. What we don't love about the word stage is that it sort of implies this experience that happens and then we complete it and maybe like check it off our checklist. Grief is not like that. The other thing, and I'll go into a little bit of history here, the 5 stages of grief was initially created by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who was a hospice worker who is studying folks who were actively dying. So the trick here is that folks who are actively dying are sort of focusing on the end of their lives. Folks who are grieving after a death are trying to figure out how to keep living. And so that concept of stages and sort of getting to this end point isn't really accurate when it comes to grief.
And I think, a lot of people want to kind of latch on to the stages of grief, or because they want some type of like instruction manual, or I want to know what to expect. I want to feel some amount of control in this process. And so the stages of grief sound nice, like, right. Oh, now I know what to expect. But really what ends up happening is then people are like, well, I'm doing this wrong because I'm not feeling this way, or I'm feeling only this and none of these other ones. I'm not moving through the stages. What's wrong with me? So having it creates more problems and is really not what Kubler-Ross intended.
That's a good point. Before we go to break, one last quick question for you. Does it ever go away?
No.
No.
I shouldn't have done a yes or no question. That's like the proper sin of radio, right, Jason? Like,
we're happy to elaborate.
No.
Yeah, we're
Sometimes we just need a straight to the point answer, and a firm no is.
I really did mean, I was like, short, sweet answer before we go to break. It was, that was the quickest I've ever gotten.
I can't elaborate, but the truth is, it is just a solid no. Yeah.
Well, we can go into more detail after the break here. We are having a very just open conversation about grief. I hope you're enjoying it. We're speaking with Hannah Tosh and Anna Hicken, who are both grief counselors at Transitions Life Care. And we're going to continue our conversation with them in just a bit. Stick around. You're listening to Aging Matters. Care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. With your host, Mary Lucas and Jason Kong.
Welcome back to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Hey, if you want to learn more about Transitions Life Care, be sure to go online to transitionslifecare.org. Plenty of resources there, information as well, career opportunities too. Go to transitionslifecare.org. I'm Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas. We have a number of guests in the studio that we're so happy are here. We're talking all about grief and to have a thorough conversation. We've got Hannah Tosh with us, who's a grief counselor and intake coordinator. We've got Anna Hicken as well, who's a grief counselor, and Carson Sellers, who's the marketing specialist at Transitions Life Care. And Mary, you know, we were just sort of wrapping up a conversation on the five stages of grief and why we kind of love and hate that moniker. But, you know, there's so much more to get into here. And, you know, I don't want to slow things down. So let's get back to it.
Absolutely. Hannah and Anna, you used the word grief illiteracy before. What do you mean?
Yeah, so basically, as a culture, we're not taught in any intentional way about what grief is or how grief affects us, what to expect from grief, all those things. We're really not taught about it, so that often makes it worse for grievers because they don't know what to expect. And then it also makes it hard for people to know how to support grievers because, again, we don't talk about it. We're not taught how to help people. So, and we get in this really awful cycle of, you know, people are often encouraged to fix things. They're encouraged to make people laugh, make people smile. All of these, like, kind of cultural values actually make the grieving process more difficult. Nobody's actually taught how to just sit and be sad with someone, which is really what a griever wants. A griever just needs to be acknowledged. They need people to recognize, like, this is horrible what you're going through, and they need to be normalized. They need to know that what they're experiencing is totally okay. So when we have all these kind of cultural values of, like, you need to be productive, you need to, you know, you need to fix this, you need to move on, all of these things that we have in our culture, the things that we say, just make grievers suffer. Mm-hmm. And so then, yeah, we're not taught how to support people. And so then when somebody tries to share about their grief, other people will either just try to change the subject or avoid it, or they might, give some platitudes. Mm-hmm. Or try to give suggestions, like, oh, have you tried this? Have you tried that? And that just leaves the griever feeling really unseen, unheard, just really icky. And that often discourages them from sharing again. So then people don't even have the opportunity to practice how to support a griever because people often don't feel comfortable talking about it because people don't feel comfortable supporting them. So it's just a really awful cycle that we get in where nobody learns how to become a better supporter of grievers.
Is there something that you should say instead of, like, oh, you should move on? Or, like, what are some things that, as someone who's trying to support someone or comfort someone who is grieving, common mistakes or things that you should say instead of those?
Yeah. So, well, just about moving on, I always encourage grievers themselves to say instead moving forward, because I think moving on is such a common phrase in our culture. So, yeah, saying moving on, both for a grieving person and for somebody supporting a griever. Though for someone supporting a griever, I would say you probably shouldn't make any like judgment about like, you know, what you should or should not be doing. Really just like listening to them, saying thank you when they tell you something related to their grief, acknowledging like, wow, I'm so glad that you told me how you're doing, how you're feeling. This sounds awful. Just like validating them as opposed to telling them what to do.
That's a good point. You know, after, you know, back to dogs, everything kind of flows around dogs. Jason knows me well enough. But like right after that experience with Tater, I was walking around the fairgrounds. It was a weekend and some guy was like, you should smile. And I was like, you turd. and I was so mad and I was still in that anger and I was like, smile. Like, I looked at him and I just kept walking. I was like, I'm gonna be frowning all day. If you, like, it doesn't matter what I do, but there was something in that that was like, why are you, what are you doing? No, I'm sad. I can frown if I want to frown.
Right. Yeah,
but it was like very annoying.
Yeah. That's like, I feel like very angry if you were being at Mary. That's a perfect example of what we're talking about. This sort of like compulsion for folks to always be happy. And I think this goes a lot back to your question at the end of the last part of like, does grief ever end? And the answer is no, we're not robots. So we can't erase our memory. I wish we had like the little Men in Black, like, you know, pens that like erase our... But we don't. And so we don't forget the people, the pets that we've loved, that we've been around. And so we don't stop grieving. You know, our grief may change or evolve, but to some aspect, we're always grieving. And so absolutely, like, you shouldn't have to smile. Sometimes it's okay to be sad. And when we have that attitude, when we sort of buy into that grief illiteracy or that like cultural expectation to always be happy, we don't allow people to come to us with things that can't be fixed, that are unfixable, essentially.
I want to, you kind of touched on it a few times. I want to circle back. Pre-grief is a thing. Grieving before you're actually losing someone or something. And it's a real, that's reality. Yes, grief happens when you lose someone or something or et cetera. But there's also a stage prior to that where people can get stuck too.
Yeah. So I think we tend to talk about it as anticipatory grief.
Okay, yeah, that's a better word.
Yeah.
You guys are the experts, like I said.
You're absolutely right, though. It's like pre-grief where you're starting to think about, you know, I think this happens a lot in more long-term illness situations. You might have someone who has a loved one with dementia or, you know, ALS or a more significant caregiving chronic illness type situation where they're starting to lose that person piece by piece. They're starting to see those parts of them die, you know, little by little, and they're starting to grieve or they're starting to realize, okay, this is real. They aren't going to be here forever. And they're starting to really anticipate that loss. And so folks can start to experience some of those things that we talked about earlier on, like that. You might have heightened anxiety, trouble sleeping. They might not feel as focused. They're starting to sort of experience some of those grief symptoms before the person even dies. We do encourage folks to, although that is completely normal and okay to experience that anticipatory grief, to really try and stay in the moment and be in the present with that person or that dog or pet. While they are still alive, they're there. And so totally normal to still experience that grief. And also we want them to really be present in the moments that they do still have while they're there.
And just a note about anticipatory grief. I feel like a lot of people, when they have a lot of anticipatory grief, they then think like, oh, well, after, you know, this person dies or after there's a change, maybe my grief won't be as hard after they die. And because like I got all the grieving out of the way, now I'm done, right? Like, shouldn't I be done? Right. And it's totally different. They're losing the physical presence, losing all of that person is different than like that experience of like slowly losing them over time. And so just knowing that that's normal, like it's not like there's, you know, a grief pie and like, oh, I used all the grief pie already during anticipatory grief, so I don't have any grief left now, and so I'm not going to grieve. That's just not how it works. Unfortunately, we have just endless amounts of grief that we could possibly experience.
That's good to note, because I feel that a lot in talking with families. And before we go to break, I want to call attention to the hospice benefit, and I would be in trouble if I didn't. But part of the hospice benefit is getting grief services after the loss of your loved one. Can you all touch on what you do in our community at Transitions Life Care before we go to break?
Yeah. So we offer a ton of different services through the Grief Center. We, for our hospice families, folks who've lost a loved one, they can, you know, take advantage of some short-term individual counseling. That's speaking one-on-one with a counselor to really process their unique grief experience. We also have just a ton of different groups and workshops available. All of that is free of charge for our hospice families. And then we also open up all of our groups, workshops, events. Those are all available to really anyone in the community at large who's experienced the death of a loved one.
That's amazing. And I think it's a huge benefit of hospice that people don't understand, is that after you lose someone at Transitions or any hospice service, you'd get a whole year plus support of grief services and counseling after that as a part of the benefit. And it's I don't think enough people take advantage of it. I think you can hide grief and, you know, write it off. And I think it's good to talk about it and get it out there.
Mm-hmm. Any sort of resources that you can incorporate, I mean, can't hurt. It's a wonderful opportunity for folks. You can go to transitionslifecare.org to learn more about the grief services available there. We're taking a short break, but we'll be back with more. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF News, Talk, Traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. 60 minutes devoted to giving you all the information you need when caring for a loved one, with Mary Lucas and Jason Kong. If you have questions for the show, you can email agingmatters@transitionslifecare.org.
You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas, as always, in the studio today to help us have a thoughtful conversation on grief. We've got a big crew here from the Transitions Life Care team. We've got Hannah Tosh with us, who's a grief counselor, Anna Hicken, who's a grief counselor as well, and we've got Carson Sellers, who's a marketing specialist. And Mary, we've kind of touched on this a little bit here and there throughout the program, but we want to spend some time talking about grief support from the other side, you know, how we can support those who are dealing with a situation when they're grieving.
I think it's a very important part of the process. And as someone who's helped others or spoken with friends who are grieving, it's critical. What can people do to better provide support to grievers or those that are grieving?
Yeah. So as we've sort of established already, this is tough in our culture. We aren't really taught about it. And so there are some really practical ways that we can support folks and be present for them. Anna has already touched on this a little bit, but one of the main things that we can do is just really appreciate vulnerability when someone who's grieving approaches us. So for example, your experience in the park, Mary, if we go back to that, you know, being told to be smile or be happy. Instead, what would have been lovely if someone said, thank you so much for being willing to be sad around me. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being present with your sadness. And so anytime we can appreciate when folks share those hard things, guaranteed the griever's already really terrified to talk about it. They know that people don't understand it and they're scared of being misunderstood. And so being able to just say, thank you so much for sharing this, that relieves the anxiety for them. It opens up the conversation, and it shows that you're willing to be present with the hard things, with the tough conversations. You're not just going to ask them to smile.
Yes.
Another one we always like to just talk about is owning the reality of the situation, like being able to say, yeah, you shared something really significant with me. I hate that I can't fix this for you. I hate that there's nothing that I can say that like makes it better, or I can't fix it. And owning that fact, I feel like kind of lets the person who's trying to support the griever, lets them off the hook. It's not like they don't have any expectation, like I need to do something about it. I just know that I need to be here with you. Mm-hmm. And then it also lets the griever know, like, I'm not going to try to make you feel better, or I'm not going to diminish your grief or anything. So just owning the fact, like, yeah, this sucks, like this is really hard. And and then also like acknowledging the gravity of the loss, like being able to say like, wow, this is a massive change. Like, oh my gosh, this is so intense for you. This sounds so painful. Just acknowledging how significant it is in their life.
That's a good point. I'm going to ask a loaded question that you all may not be prepared for, but it's something that popped in my head. How can you as a workplace or as a colleague or in the community as a neighbor, how can we be more supportive of individuals that are experiencing grief? We had someone on the show Rebecca, who owns Grieve Leave, and it was a great conversation about how we should be doing more in the workplace. And I thought it was interesting because at Transitions, we do a great job about bereavement leave, but I think that it's not across the board as colleagues and out there in the community. So I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
I feel like bereavement leave kind of unfortunately does often perpetuate some of just the fact that the grief leave is like 3 days often.
Yeah, like you're supposed to be over it in 3 days.
So that's
a good point, yeah.
So the fact that we have it is great, like we do need it, but the fact that it is time limited implies, it just perpetuates that, like, oh yeah, it should be a couple days and then you should be over it. So we definitely need it. More of it would be great.
Right.
Grief does really impact a lot of people's work life. I've worked with, doctors and people, nurses, like people who are in the medical field. So when they are dealing with their own loss from like a major illness, and then they have to go in a job where they're talking with people who are dealing with the same illness, like that is so incredibly triggering. And not just like in a profession where it kind of matches your grief experience, but also just in general, like, grief impacts a lot of our cognitive abilities. So like it makes it hard to like focus and be organized at work and all those things. So yeah, there's a big connection between grief and work. And so having an employer who is very much aware of how your work can be impacted by grief and giving you, opportunities to like take breaks or maybe work more flexibly because you have to go to the courthouse or whatever to, mm-hmm. I mean, there's just a lot of like flexibility from the employer is really a necessity.
And I would just add as like a plug for our services, this is another service we offer, Mary. So Anna and I have done several presentations. We've done like education sessions with local workplaces and local, like we've been to doctor's offices. We went to like a hair salon one time to provide education. So we are able to do that free of charge and really talk to like managers or other employees about how can they really support folks when they have other members of their team who are grieving. So we're happy to add that extra bit of support.
That's amazing. I think it's important to also note the role that therapy or counseling plays or can play in the grieving process. Can you all talk a little bit about how you've seen that help people who are grieving? And can you wait too long to involve counseling or therapy in the process?
Ooh, good question. I would say no, you really can't wait too long. And I think this is something that Anna and I talk about a lot, which is sometimes, in our discomfort, we like to encourage people to hurry up and get grief counseling, when they're sad. But often, like, people need a little bit of time. It's just like in shock. You know, when someone gets in a car accident, they're in shock. They literally don't even feel the pain yet, right? Like, it hasn't even registered. And so giving folks that time to, like, settle into their grief, for it to feel a little bit real, to get a grasp on it a little bit, is important. And so a lot of times giving folks that waiting time before they engage in grief counseling is really helpful for them to get the most out of the experience. So I don't think there is, like, a time limit. I think it's honestly, a little bit of a wait is important, and I think that for different folks, that wait period, that shock period, can look totally different.
And just about therapy and grief, like, having a counselor is really, really helpful, because grievers are often worried about being a burden and feel like, I don't know who to talk to about this, or like, people don't get it, people don't understand. So having a space that is purely, like, dedicated to just, I can talk about whatever I need to talk about. I don't have to worry about making the other person feel uncomfortable. That, even, like, we found that lots of people just, you know, filling out our intake paperwork and signing up to meet with a counselor, that in itself, like, knowing, like, I've got this intentional time for my grief, that makes them feel better even before they've started. So, yeah, just cannot talk about enough how much getting counseling support is helpful. So
that's interesting.
What are some signs that someone might need additional support? Like, if I'm a griever, I'm like, maybe I should actually reach out to a counselor. Thinking through, like, what are some signs that maybe it's time to ask for help?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would want to emphasize that, like, there are a lot of aspects of grief that can feel really overwhelming, but doesn't mean anything's wrong with someone.
Right.
However, I would say that if at any point anyone is feeling this sense of, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm going crazy, please get a grief counselor, because we will tell you immediately that you are not going crazy. Mm-hmm. And just to have that backup, to know that, like, these things are normal, you are not going crazy, I think that's really important. Now, if someone is having, like, really extreme symptoms that are impacting their quality of life, like, they are having so many sleep issues that they are like zombies during the day, or which is normal early on, but say that's continuing for like 6, 7, 8 months after. Really extreme symptoms, they cannot focus at work, it's impacting their performance, things like that. Then you would want to see a counselor and be able to get some support around those really extreme symptoms.
We're talking all about grief today. We've got Carson Sellers in the studio, Hannah Tosh, and Anna Hicken. We're going to continue our conversation with them right after this. You're listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF. News, talk, traffic.
This is Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. Joined by Mary Lucas from Transitions Life Care, here's your host, Jason Kong.
Welcome back to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Jason Kong here with Mary Lucas in the studio. We have Hannah Tosh with us and Anna Hicken. They are both grief counselors with Transitions Life Care. And we also have Carson Sellers with us today, who's a marketing specialist with Transitions Life Care. And we're talking about all things related to grief today. And Mary, you know, we spent some time last segment talking about supporting those who are in a situation where they are grieving. And I know we kind of want to tie a bow on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to touch quickly on how does it evolve over time? What does it look like long term? You know, further down the line, it's been 5, 10 years. You know, my sister brought up a picture of my grandfather the other day, because we were trying to show my nephew, who's 3, who only met my grandfather for a very brief amount of time. We were trying to explain to him about grandpa, and we were like, you, grandpa held you, you know, and my sister brought up this video of my grandfather who died at Transitions in the hospice home 2 years ago. And I was like, do we have to do that right now, Kate? And I was like, immediately felt my eyes start to well up. And she was like, Mary, it's been so long. And I was like, I'd rather we not do this right now at dinner. And I just started bawling. And I was like, let's not do that again, please. We don't need to show videos of grandpa. I don't know what it was, but it hit me. So like, how does it evolve over time? What does this look like long term?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, and a lot of people wonder about this. And I often, like when I'm talking with a griever early on in their grief, like a couple months out, I always have a hard time knowing like when I should introduce this, because it can either feel really helpful or really discouraging. So David Kessler talks about early grief and mature grief. So early grief, when grief feels really intense, it feels very present in your life, you are dealing with, you know, a lot of grief reactions. He says that that lasts 2 years, which a lot of people, when I say that, they're like, oh, gosh, that's a long time. But that's just the reality of the situation. Unfortunately, that's not what our culture teaches us. Our culture teaches like, oh, it's been 3 months. Aren't you feeling better by now? Which is wrong. Early grief is 2 years. And then after that is mature grief. And so you have mature grief for the rest of your life. And so it's very normal to have moments around like grief milestones, like birthdays, holidays, children being born, birthdays of those children, like all these things that person is supposed to be there for. Like it's normal for those moments to trigger our grief, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20, for the rest of your life, all those years. So, yeah.
It's good to know.
Just kind of piggybacking off of Mary's question, as you kind of graduate from early to mature grief, I find myself wondering like how to comfort or be there for someone in early stages versus like later down the line. Just speaking from personal experience, I have someone very close to me that I love very much that lost her father, and we're coming up on the 2-year anniversary of his passing. And just as someone's grief evolves and changes with time, like can the support you provide evolve with it, or just some tips on how to do that?
What a good question. Yeah, I love that one.
Carson with the singer.
So my initial thoughts are, early on in grief, folks really are in that shock, fog, completely overwhelmed space. And so a lot of the support they need is more proactive, right? So they need you to show up at their house with groceries. They need you to go mow their lawn without asking. Like they
take
really,
the trash out.
Yeah, take the trash out. They need you to be, they don't have any space in their world, in their brain to think about all of these things. They need the support to be really practical, really proactive. Later on in grief, I think that looks really different. You know, the grief has shifted for them. So these anniversaries or these big moments are a little bit more important, but they're not necessarily needing you to be as proactive. So maybe you're more curious, like, right. Hey, I've been thinking about this. I care about you. I know the 2 years are coming up. Like, how are you feeling about that? Is there anything I can do to support you? So a little bit more curious, a little bit more open-ended, really offering that support, but not necessarily jumping in, because they have a little bit more autonomy and room to consider it at that point in their grief.
And I think just reminding yourself to be really flexible. So like if you ask them like, yeah, I'm thinking about this and how can I support you? Would you like to go out to a special lunch, or would you like to go to the gravesite with me? Like, I would love to support you in these ways. But also like if you wake up that morning and you don't want to do anything, like I won't be offended, you know, like right. My feelings won't be hurt if you need to change your plans, just because grievers often don't know how they will feel until it happens. I mean, they can learn from their experience over time and anticipate, but sometimes you never know. So just being a really like safe, flexible presence is really helpful. And sometimes like even setting reminders in your phone of like, oh, the death anniversary is coming up, just so that it's on your radar too, is really thoughtful.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, final tips for the grievers or those that are supporting those grieving.
Yeah, okay, so we have two big tips here. The first I like to talk about is matching the language of the griever. So I'm gonna use a little bit of colorful language to illustrate my point here. But, a lot of times we soften language without maybe not even realizing it, totally unintentionally. But if someone comes to you and says, Mary, Carson, this grief is absolute hell. And you come back and say, yeah, grief is really hard. That sounds really different. That's a totally different experience. And what the griever experiences in that moment is they don't get it. They did not hear me because I said something completely different. And when you match that language, when you come back and you repeat the language they use, they know that you heard them. You understand the gravity. They use that colorful language to illustrate the shock that they're experiencing. And they want to know that you hear that. And so it's really important. You know, we don't have to create language, but if someone uses colorful language when they're talking about their grief experience, match that, repeat that back. That is radical empathy. That is showing them that you're willing to be uncomfortable with them in that space.
I also have one other tip that I love to tell people, and I'm referencing David Kessler again, that he talks about how hard the question, how are you doing, is for grievers. That's a really, it seems like a simple question, but it's really hard for grievers because often people, yeah, they don't know how to answer it. They're like, does this person want the truth? Do they... will they get uncomfortable if I start crying? Like, I don't want to cry right now. I'm at the grocery store. Or, they feel like they might not be honoring their person if they just say, I'm fine. Like, they want to be honest, but they also don't want to cry at a random place in front of a stranger. So Dave Kessler says that you should always just add a time frame to it. How are you doing this morning? Mm-hmm. How are you doing this afternoon? Whatever. Like, the time frame makes it so much easier to answer. They don't have to consider their existence as a whole. They don't have to think like, well, the most horrible thing just happened to me. How do you think that I'm doing? They could be like, oh, this morning, well, this morning sucks. I'm feeling really awful this morning. But this afternoon. But yeah, I'm feeling okay this afternoon. So I always encourage grievers to add that time frame for themselves when they hear somebody ask them, how are you doing? Just like imagine like, well, this morning I'm doing fine. But it would be great if people supporting grievers would be able to add the time frame. So that's another thing that a griever doesn't have to be in charge of, you know.
It's really helpful. And lastly, how can people get in touch with you all at Transitions Life Care, and how the resources, repeating back some of the resources available to those in the community and also those who have been on our services at Transitions?
Yeah, so we offer for folks who lost a loved one on our services, they can receive individual counseling, groups, workshops, any events that we put on. Anyone in the community who's lost a loved one can take advantage of our groups and workshops and special events. And then also we would want the community at large to know that we are happy to provide education sessions at any point. So they're welcome to call us and invite us to do that. And we'd be happy to be in our community providing that education. If folks want to reach us, they can go on our website, transitionslifecare.org. And there's a contact us form. They can narrow it by grief, and it'll come straight to our department. Or they can call us directly. So our number is 919-719-7199.
Read that like a pro on the air. 919-719-7199. Well, Hannah and Anna, thank you so much for coming in and for being so open and honest with us. I mean, I think this is a show that a lot of people might want to go back and listen to or share with someone, because it was jam-packed full of great advice and insight. If you want to do that, you can go to WPTF.com. Under shows, you can find Aging Matters, and there you can find a podcast version of this episode and all past episodes as well. So big thanks to Hannah Tosh and Anna Hicken. Big thanks to Carson Sellers as well for asking the great questions.
You're going to hear more from Carson.
Carson just shows up and hits a home run. Pretty amazing stuff. But yeah, we look forward to having her participate in Aging Matters going forward. So yeah, that's going to do it for us today. On behalf of Mary Lucas and myself, thank you for listening. We hope you'll do it again next week. You've been listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you, a service of Transitions Life Care. It's your life, your care on FM 98.5, AM 680, WPTF, news, talk, traffic. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Aging Matters, care and comfort that surrounds you on WPTF, AM 680, and WPTF.com. For more information, log on to transitionslifecare.org.